Yeah, we're ready. Go ahead. I'd like to thank everyone for coming tonight. First thing I'll do is ask for a motion to open the meeting.
I make a motion to open.
Ask for a second.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All right, meeting is declared open. The Animal Services Advisory Committee dates October 13th, 2016. My name is John Lynn. I'm the vice chairman on the committee. I'd like to start over on the left side, Dr. Jewell, just start with him and work our way around introducing everybody that's here.
Brian Jewell.
Catherine Overstreet.
Mike Marsteller.
Carol Roop.
Brad Rayfield.
I was going to say, we got Brad Rayfield, Director of Animal Services, here with us.
Patty Nicto. No, I didn't.
I thought you did. You not? You didn't squeak it in there? I am so sorry.
And this gentleman here.
He's a guest.
I'm a guest.
Do you have a name? Do you have an invitation?
Vince Griggs.
Do you have an invitation?
No, well, I got a phone call.
He has his gun. He doesn't need an invitation.
Well, if Hillary Clinton gets elected, kiss it goodbye. She's taking them all out.
Love it.
All right.
Well, are you trying to incite something else?
That is on the news.
That's what?
we're actually live here. I'd like to open the floor to public comment at this time, if anybody's here from the public. I don't see anybody from the public in attendance other than committee members and guests. So, the one note down here at the bottom says we have audio files of our meetings available on the website, so we don't have to approve any prior meeting notes. Anybody can go to the website and download and listen to their heart's content there. So we're open meeting, and here we are. So I guess the two items we have for discussion, animal control, municipalities and county. We have a presentation that we'll be seeing. It's by Lieutenant Mike Marsteller. And then Brad will present some animal shelter statistics, and we'll just go from there.
I'd like to let Brad start out. With
you want me to do mine first?
Okay,
that's fine. That way I don't have to worry about my computer going dead.
There you go.
Well, I know we've got some relatively new members on the board, and probably I should do this at another meeting, maybe in January, if we have, you know, even more new folks. But anyhow, I know y'all know kind of in a nutshell what we do at the shelter, and this presentation is just to kind of show you everything we do, or almost everything. I guess I couldn't do a presentation for everything, but it's going to kind of show you what we do, what other agencies we work with, what other rescue groups we work with, and the impact they've had on us and our shelter and our statistics. So, and it's not a very long slideshow, but it's got some good information in it. So, this is our mission statement. It's pretty short, and actually one of our committee members that was on the board before you guys, maybe Patty and John remember, Carol Vasileski wrote this. She's real good at doing mission statements. So this is our mission statement, and the Animal Services Center is a public resource focused on improving the interactions between humans and animals to ensure public safety and to decrease the number of unwanted and mistreated animals within the community. So at the shelter, the services we provide, and this is kind of a lot of this stuff we work with the Sheriff's Department, some stuff we don't. I'm not going to single those out, but we reunite animals with their owners. We put a lot of effort into that, as well as the sheriff's deputies do as well. Of course, we do adoptions. We are also responsible for rabies samples, which is a function of our public health department. Of course, we're an open mission shelter for any lost strays or animals that folks don't want anymore. Dogs and cats, that is. We're not obligated to take bunnies or birds and things like that. However, if somebody was in a real pinch and we thought there was a possibility that they might just leave it on the side of the road, we would take it. But we offer people a lot of resources that we've came across over the years for rabbits and birds and things like that that have taken them from us. So we also do some obedience training. We do some rabies vaccination clinics. We offer free spay neuter for families that qualify in the county. And we also transport those animals to the vet and bring them back from the vet and go over the post-op stuff with the people. So we're also responsible if there's a regional emergency. We work in cooperation with Buncombe County to offer sheltering for folks who may be maybe in a Red Cross shelter somewhere and they've got pets. We would offer shelter for the pets. Of course, I'm staff support for you guys, and also we do bite confinement. So there's other things, but that's kind of the high spots.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Your obedience training, is that classes for the public? Or is
Yeah, it's for anybody that has any problems with their animal, behavioral problems, is to target, give them the information they need.
Okay, so it's not like basic obedience classes where you got a puppy and you brought and you're trying to teach them to do that. It's for problem behavior.
We've had people bring in puppies that just want to get on the right track from the get-go, and but then we might have a dog with separation anxiety, things like that. And that's all done through a volunteer. Carol Vasilevsky does that. And also Pam Hodges was helping her at one time, but I think Carol's mainly doing it now. So, but it's open to people who have adopted from us or just people, the general public. So. And we collaborate with other organizations so that we can achieve success. And I measure success by providing care for animals that come to the shelter. And spay-neuter initiatives, low intake numbers are a big thing. Public safety, reuniting animals with their owners. So if we can accomplish, if we work towards bettering these things, we're going to, just by default, we're going to improve our live rate, our numbers of animals that we get out of the shelter with families or with their own families and not having to euthanize them. These are some of our key organizations that we work with: Blue Ridge Humane, Brother Wolf, Charlie's Angels, Community Partnership for Pets, and Transylvania. Y'all, none of those organizations are probably anybody that you've not ever heard of. So, and of course, we work with the Board of Commissioners, who offer a lot of support to us, the Sheriff's Department, Henderson County Health Department, and also the North Carolina Department of Epidemiology and North Carolina, the Agriculture and Consumer Services. So those are the key organizations that we work with in different facets. So, any questions about any of those? Or so here's kind of a picture. You know, I was talking about our success and things like that. In 2011, we peaked our, I've been keeping track of our statistics since 2008. And they were tracked before that, but I don't know what methods we used to track them, so I try to steer away from reporting and showing those a whole lot. So in 2011, our intake numbers peaked at 3,900 animals. We euthanized over 2,000, you can see, and our live rate for all the animals combined was 42%, which is not very good. But at the time, compared to other shelters in similar counties, it was a little bit better, actually, to tell you the truth. So, but in 2015, now our intake numbers have went down. A lot of that's because of spay and neuter. A lot of that's, the intake numbers going down is primarily spay and neuter for sure. There's no doubt about it. You know, of course, we've had to euthanize less animals, and that's because there's less animals coming in, but plus we've got these rescue groups that we're tapping into that are helping us pull animals. So our live rate, and this is combined dogs and cats, is 67%. Now, I don't call out our feral cats. I don't call out animals that could never be adopted because of temperament reasons. I keep those all in that staff. So we put a lot of focus on reuniting animals with their owners. And, you know, 2015, well, we did a pretty good job there, 423 animals. And the 98% of those are dogs. Cats typically, usually in a year, we're good to get 30 cats reunited with their owner just because people don't look for them, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess people, when they lose a cat, they kind of write it off to coyotes or whatever. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I see 2015, 423 animals returned to owner. That begs a question. Are most of these, you said about 98% of them were dogs for the most part that they returned? I'm assuming this is identification through microchipping and whatnot that you're mostly...
Not always.
Really? Mm-hmm. Where are you coming, where are you seeing
Facebook,
a lot of this stuff from?
Yard sale, Hendersonville yard sale. People just calling us and we take lost pet reports.
Right.
You wouldn't believe how much staff time we utilize just taking people's lost pet reports, and then we'll match them up and stuff. These guys will tell you right here, you get a microchip,
mm-hmm.
half the time it leads to a quick reuniting of a pet with their owner, because people don't keep the chips updated. People may have never known that there was a chip. They may have, you know, got it from a rescue group, and they don't even know there's a chip in the animal. They don't even know what a chip is. Because when you got some of these groups, I'm not going to mention any, but when you got some of the groups around that are doing adoptions for $5, these people go in here and just grab these animals. They don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing $5 and $10 adoptions.
Yeah.
You know, they don't care if it's registered. They don't, you know. So, and then some of these are, I've never pulled them out, but, and some people may say it's not fair, but when we have a dog on bite quarantine, those go into a reclaim category. But we spend a lot of time just staying in touch with those folks and making sure they know, you know, that they have to pick up their animal on this day, it's this much, and they've got to come in there. So I'm doing that to show how much time we spend on it, and we spend just as much time on following up with people that animal is there on bite quarantine as we do somebody that's lost their pet in a lot of cases.
Yeah. Looking at the numbers you've got, would you say that in 2015 you adopted out about 950 animals? Would I use the euthanized returned to owners? Correct.
It would be we either adopted out or transferred them into a
no-kill rescue.
Yeah, no-kill rescue. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Or purebred rescue group.
Yeah, we'll do breed specifics because we think they do a better job of matching the breeds with the right kind of owner, especially like Boston Terriers or Great Danes. We had a beautiful Great Dane, and as soon as it came in, we called the Great Dane Rescue and we put it on there because we don't want just some random person off the street coming in and say, oh, it'd be cool to have a Great Dane. And then they've got a Great Dane, and they don't know what all that comes with having a Great Dane. So.
Yeah, there's really some breed-specific stuff with those.
So when we have good breed-specific groups that we have identified and we work with them, that's always our go-to first item.
What's the criteria on your euthanasias? I mean, what do you use to determine when it's time, who?
Well, a lot of times, Dr. Jewell, the pressure of how full we get dictates that.
Okay.
If we need the space, but as our intake numbers have went down, the percentage of animals, and I think one of my last slides you'll see that the percentage of animals that we have to euthanize because of space goes down. To where if I had it categorized where we're putting them down because of temperament reason, that would be a higher percentage. So most of the time it's temperament.
Temperament?
Yeah. is why we have to euthanize.
As opposed to space?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now it is. Now, used to, back when we had, were taking in 3,900 mm-hmm. animals, it was probably an even type thing.
And a lot of that is probably decreased because of the other organizations.
Yeah, and there's a shift, and if you read papers, there's a shift of once a community starts spay-neuter and they start seeing decreased intake numbers, you're going to start seeing less and less animals in your shelters. They're going to start being animals that probably are less adoptable.
And right now, who is the primary source of spay and neuter in Henderson County? In
terms for of for us, it's Humane Alliance.
Okay.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, Mary Stravini uses mm-hmm. a handful of veterinarians that mm-hmm. do her voucher system. So, and she, I don't think she uses Humane Alliance at all anymore. I think hers is all through, I may still be corrected on that, but I think that all of hers go through, you know, a handful of vets that participate in her voucher system. So, and we also sell her vouchers at the shelter because if people don't qualify for our free program, we want to give them an alternative. So, and Mary's also lets us give out vouchers for free to people who turn in litters of kittens, litters of puppies. She just wants us to hand that voucher to them and make it as easy as we can for them to have that animal fixed. So we do that too.
And do most of the time those people take them and agree to do that?
Yeah. I don't have a way of tracking which ones do it, but I know one guy, he came in and did it, and he lost his voucher. And, you know, he came in and he said, you know, it's time for my dog to get fixed. She's dried up and it's time, but I lost my voucher. Can I get another one? I'm like, yeah, of course you can, you know. So,
how many animals can you hold in the shelter?
It depends on how friendly they are to each other. Sometimes you can double them up, but we've got about, 20. How many dog runs do we have? There's
4 on one side.
Well, there's 20. There, short side and long side, there's 21, and then 11. So there's about 30. There's about 35 dog places. Yeah, and then probably 60 for calves. So, right here, some intake. How our intake numbers and public spay neuter assistance kind of have how public spay neuter has impacted our intake numbers. CPPI since 2005 has provided to 20,000 public spay neuters, and we've provided about 3,000, and that doesn't count the animals that we have fixed because they get adopted from us. This is like our funding for public folks who are low income.
Do you have the dogs fixed before they're adopted out?
Oh yeah. Unless they're not able to be fixed, if they're too young to be fixed, we take the adoption fee plus we get a $100 deposit from the folks. And once they bring it back to us to have it fixed, they get that $100 deposit back. So if you've ever read any papers on spay-neuter, this is our community, and it's almost a textbook as to what you would read. If you start a spay-neuter program, which you'll see the public spay-neuters is the gray line, and you'll see as the numbers have went up from 2005 to 2011, if you read a lot of papers, you'll see where it says it takes 5 to 6 to 7 years to start seeing results. And you'll see right there where it's dropped in 2011. And Dr. Jewell, to go back to your question, you said what dictates our euthanasia. You can see right there our intake numbers dictate that, you know. How much pressure we're getting from the outside dictates how many animals we're having to put down, because that number runs kind of parallel there. So, This is just to show you what some of the rescue groups do, because you'll hear a lot of rescue groups, you know, talking about what they're doing in the community. Well, this is what I can tell you they're doing at the shelter. You can see the Blue Ridge has got a big impact on us, and even if you look down at Charlie's Angels, they're a pretty new group in the area, and they've really came on strong. So, and Transylvania is not even, that's a Transylvania group, but they still pull a lot of cats from us. And then Brother Wolf, of course, they've had a strong presence in Buncombe, but now, as you've heard, they're starting to move into Henderson now. They've even got a thrift shop and a almost what you might want to describe as a triage between when they take in an animal and then it goes into a rescue to a, they've got a network of foster people who take those animals in. So, but I don't know what we would do without our rescue groups. It would be a lot harder job than it is. Right here, you'll see the number of animals pulled hasn't changed a whole lot since 2013. And there at the end, that's just year to date, 2016. So I'd say we're on track to outpace the other years this year from all the rescue groups, especially with Brother Wolf coming in. They haven't pulled a lot from us in the past, but them being in Henderson County, they're going to start pulling a lot more animals from us.
That's good.
So, but, with the rescues, when they pull from us, that just alleviates space to where we can keep maybe some of the less desirable animals even longer than what we could have in the past. The live rate is a direct function of time and available space. Of course, the more time and space we have, the higher live rate we're going to have, because if we had it unlimited of those, we would never have to put anything down. So, but the behavior of the animal and the health, they all drive the live rates. Making a bigger shelter, of course, is not the answer for any community or anybody. It's over in Transylvania County one time when they were building their new shelter, they had me come and speak at the Friends of the Animal Shelter. It was, they had a big thing at the library, and somebody was complaining because where they built the shelter, the footprint, there wasn't any room for expansion. And I said, well, you don't want to ever look at that aspect. You want to, you know, look at not having to expand your shelter. You should be, you know, gearing towards spay neuter, not towards if I can expand my shelter or not. So, but, you know, we do get in times, and these guys will tell you, we get times where our quarantine right now is full. We are completely full of our quarantine. So I've had to start shifting. And I'm starting construction next week where I can, one of my adoption wings is going to be a place where I can shrink and swell my my quarantine area, because for some reason we just got more animals in quarantine. Well, we've got some on court cases. We've got, you know, the dogs that come in and they've bit somebody have to stay there for 10 days, so that's a tied up run for 10 days, and no luck, no quicker than we get that dog out, we've got another one coming in on bike quarantine. So, but anyway, you know, the more people we can pull in to help us, the better, and that's been the key to my success for sure. Here's our live rate, how it's went up since 2009. And again, these are raw numbers. I'm not taking out, feral cats are included in this. The dogs that have bite histories or have been deemed dangerous are included in this. I don't take them out, and I don't know, I'm not trying to say that other places that report their numbers do take them out, but I'm just telling you that I don't. So, so a live rate includes all dogs and cats despite health and behavior. That's why I was just going back. This is reinforcing that I don't call out anything. And Dr. Jewell, this is kind of what I was talking about. In 2011, 30% of the dogs that we euthanized were because of space. And then cats were 19%. But you'll see the cats are not far from what they were back in 2011, but that's because we're targeting a lot of feral communities and things like that, I guess. But I think that is my last slide. Does anybody have any questions?
No, it's very well done.
I think it would help for any new members coming in for me to go over this, because I don't know, maybe y'all knew more than what I think you did or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Just curious, I mean, I guess the rescue groups are able to free up that space. Mm-hmm. What does that do to your adoption rates in terms of, I mean, because obviously, I'm sure you
well
almost probably
you
see
know
that
what,
fill
we
up
spend
just
as much time contacting these rescues as mm-hmm. we do doing a straight out adoption. Mm-hmm. So I include these transfers and adoptions, they're all figured into the live rate.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, if you look at my statistics, I do separate them out in some places, but if whenever I do my report to the citizens, the mm-hmm. adoptions include transfers to
okay.
to rescues.
Okay. Because I also wonder, you know, I mean, these animals that are being pulled by these rescue groups. And I don't know really what the answer is. What does that do to the more rescue groups you have, to adoption rates at these different groups? In other words, do they see a decline in their adoption rates? And then what do they do with these animals? I mean,
they're all no-kill shelters.
Yeah, they're
all. What do they do with their space? I mean, they just keep finding.
Well, a lot of them have a network of foster
yeah,
people.
Fosters
yeah.
And, you know.
And
yeah.
other shelters, too, in other states, don't they?
Yeah. And Blue Ridge Humane Society, I mean, they run into the same problems we do, but they just can't euthanize. But
right.
they won't take anything more. The difference between them and us is we can't turn people away.
Right.
These other groups can. So they can say no more animals until we get some of these adopted out. And
would you expect to see a decrease in the number of animals pulled from the shelter if they start backing up? Or how does that work?
Well, yeah, of course. If people right. quit adopting from them.
Yeah, or, yeah. you know, you. I guess I just wonder how many groups. I mean, in a way, it's almost kind of a catch-22. You have the more rescue groups you have, mm-hmm. hopefully the more pull you would get from the shelter.
Yeah.
But then at a certain point, when does that start backing up and start diluting what the other rescue groups can do? In other words, adoption rates. And
it gives them more time for adoptions, too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if you run out of space, you're looking at
yeah.
euthanasia.
Yeah.
If they can take them, then it gives a longer span of time where people could have an opportunity
yeah.
to adopt.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually, I see what you're
mm-hmm.
saying. It's
yeah.
it's not 100%.
Yeah, I guess sometimes I wonder, you know, you got a certain pool of people that are out there looking to adopt a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had three shelters, the adoption rates would obviously be higher at those shelters, at the county shelter. But then the more groups, it kind of dilutes that pool of adoptees out. And so I just wonder what that does to the overall numbers at each one of these individual rescue groups. But I guess if they have fosters that they can... You know,
yeah,
reallocate
some
them
of them
in
don't
different
even have a brick.
Some
groups, some of the breed specific groups don't even have a brick and mortar facility. I mean, they don't even have.
It's just a network.
Yeah, it's just a network of folks who are familiar with the breed and want to help out. And one in particular is the German short-haired pointer. I know that, and we don't see as many of those come through the shelter as we did 2 or 3 years ago. But there's a group, and actually the lady was a sales rep. At one time, a pharmaceutical sales rep, and but she also did this, the German Shorthaired Pointer. But it was all they didn't have one location; they just had a network of folks.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody was looking for one, they would go to their website and say, "Hey, I'm looking for a German Shorthaired Pointer." And they would arrange a time for the people to meet up with the folks. But I still don't feel like I'm answering your question.
No, I don't know that there is an answer.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
yeah.
I just didn't know if maybe you...
Yeah.
And again, maybe it's just a matter of there's so many other outlets for these pets to go in other locations that...
Well, you know, Charlie's Angels does a regular transport of animals up north.
Mm-hmm.
And even some of the ones that we have
mm-hmm.
end of times, believe it or not, those animals are already spoken for and adopted out to a family before they even make it up there. So,
and that's because those shelters, that happens because they have much stricter animal control laws and spay and neuter laws than we have down here.
They might have differentiated license type.
So they don't end up with as many animals in their rescues and their shelters.
Well, they've got those. There are incredible websites out there too, where you can select. You know, you can find and select a dog in another state.
Right.
And collect.
So
rescue.
That's what we do, and I focus more on our live rate. But gosh, there's so much stuff that we do out there, from rabies stuff to outreach stuff.
But campground.
Do what?
The campground.
Well, I mentioned our regional shelter thing.
So, like, for hurricane disasters and different things like that, they can...
Yeah, we can pull that out.
Oh, great.
That's all I got.
Not bad.
This is really great.
Thank
you.
Yeah, thank you.
Very well presented.
Now, would your question be answered more if you had the statistics from all of the...
I guess if you had statistics from multiple, at least 5 years going back, looking at adoption rates at each one of these individual shelters, and then comparing that to the county, I don't know if it would impact. I guess I'm just wondering, is there a backlog at some point?
They can't get backlogged because they don't have to take the animals.
Mm-hmm.
We get backlogged, but that means by default we'd have to euthanize.
And that's what I was wondering also, does the number of shelters, the decrease in the number of adoptees on their end cause a backlog on your end?
These rescue groups, kind of, a good analogy would be a pressure relief valve.
I guess that is the answer, you know what I mean? If they have enough places that they can send these... dogs and cats.
Everybody who's involved, works their heart out. So I'm not sure I want to know where the, unless they can be fixed, where the problems, not problems, but.
I don't know if y'all know, but the ASPCA is starting to. They've got plans to build a rehab center in Asheville, where they're going to be keeping problem animals from a month to 12 months, depending on what degree of issues they have. But that's going to be a pretty good resource, because there's a lot of animals that we don't have people to adopt out to that have the skill set to take those animals. I wouldn't feel comfortable. I don't want another thing to happen like it did in this county. Over off what road was that?
Piney Ridge,
where that kid got killed by that pit bull that was adopted from Asheville. Mm-hmm. That could have just as easily been us. I mean, you don't know what triggers an animal to behave, and you can do all kinds of tests and stuff like this, but there's an inherent risk to adopting any animal. But just so it happens that pit bulls can do a lot of damage if you hit that trigger just right.
We had a situation this morning. A man out on Asheville Highway was attacked by a pit bull. The pit bull knocked him down. It didn't actually bite him, but the man actually stuck his fingers in the dog's eyes, and the dog's tooth scratched the man's arm. I can't find the dog. If I can't find the dog, then the health department will suggest strongly that he start his rabies vaccine. That's...
$15,000 to $20,000.
Scared the man to death, of course. And we canvassed the neighborhood now 3 times, and we still haven't found the dog. So.
Or an owner. Nobody's come forward.
No, people seen the dog. The people in the neighborhood in the area have seen the dog, but no, we don't know where it belongs. So.
And what about the eyes? Did he damage?
He says he thinks he did. He thinks he damaged the dog's eye. But there again, I don't know. I don't know how bad. We're going to go back and try now since it's quitting time. Maybe somebody will.
On the same note, we recently have had a vet hospital in the area had some people exposed, and they suffered a pretty big financial hit having to have those people have the post-exposure shots. Yeah. You're talking about three people times $20,000 or more. It's going to set you back some.
I didn't either. Why is it so expensive?
The pre isn't, the post is. Yeah, and it goes by body weight, a lot of it.
Well, that's embarrassing.
Wait a minute. For the person of the dog.
The person.
Oh, Jesus.
I know.
I'd have to take out a home loan, wouldn't
I? Don't get fixed.
I know where you were going with this. I see where this was leading me. It would cost Patty a third as much as it would me. Okay, I got you.
You took a chair.
Are you, are you good?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Brad. Very, very informative. I guess at this time, Lieutenant Mike Marsteller has a presentation he wanted to make, and Brad had charts and graphs and screen and all this. What are you bringing to the table?
I'm just bringing me.
My man.
Just for the new people on the board, just to give you a brief history of how
and
we're here.
Let me just say I appreciate Mike doing this, because I just asked him the other day, we didn't have much on the agenda, and he agreed to do this, so he's, I appreciate him. And it is something you guys need to know, because...
But can I interject, and I was going to make it afterwards, because I've asked Brad, and I don't know whether he shared with you, John, I've asked to speak at the end or at some time in the meeting, but I'm bothered by the fact that there are a number of people missing, and they may all have really great reasons, okay? And I'm not going to be the person to decide. But we do have bylaws in place that specifically say they're not subjective. They specifically say you cannot miss more than one meeting, or you will be asked to remove.
Right. And you drove 2,000 miles to be
exactly.
At this meeting, so.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure our chair has missed more than one meeting this year. And I love her, Beverly Hargis. I mean, she's my vet. But I think she's missed more than one meeting. I understand her schedule must be crazy, and at times she doesn't have control over that. But I feel bad that Brad's presentation and now what Mike is going to take time to share with us really needs to reach a lot of these people who are not here today. So I will not be the one to follow up, but I hope either John or Brad will look at the attendance records. And again, it's not subjective. It's very clear. And I know of people who'd like to be on this committee, who would be here. And I, you know, if your schedule is such that you can't be here, fine. You know, another time. You know, you can still have the commitment or the desire to, you know, support Brad's work or the work of the committee, but to be a member of the committee of the board,
mm-hmm.
I think you've got to be here. So
well, this came up once before, didn't it?
It was a couple of
meetings ago.
It was the one we had back in April, I think.
Okay.
It was that meeting where we basically, I think it was either January or April of this year. I think it was April. But I was specifically asked to read through the bylaws, and
mm-hmm.
we just make everybody aware of the requirements of being on the committee.
Right.
And that was made aware to everybody at that time. And we had a full slate at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was here at that time.
I think you sent everybody
a
copy
an
of the bylaws,
mm-hmm.
too, because when I was not sure if I could be here, I emailed Brad and said, I can't even remember if I've missed one, and I don't want to be kicked off, so
yeah.
and he wasn't sure. I think I did miss one, but I thought I don't want to be the two.
Yeah.
So,
well, just again, thank you for letting me speak before you do, Mike. But I think what again, both Brad and probably what Mike is going to present, other people should be here to hear. And so I hope again that either that you and Brad talk and proceed accordingly.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, delay no more.
Oh, well, in 2007 was where the county commissioners were approached about possibly getting a group together and putting together some ordinances, animal ordinances, or updating them, actually. And at that point in time, there was a move to transfer the animal control enforcement side to the sheriff's office. And then that took effect, I believe, in 2008. If not, I may be wrong on that by a month or two. But, and then they had, now we have two houses, if you will. The animal shelter, which is directed and run by Brad, and his group, and then we had seven or six, I believe it was, at the beginning that either stayed at the shelter side or went to the law enforcement side and had a choice there, and had a group of people came to the enforcement side. So animal control is now animal enforcement from the field side of the fence. The shelter is a shelter, and then it's animal enforcement. And two things that did. One, it freed up the officers to be out in the county handling calls and not necessarily doing shelter duties and things like that in between calls. It's a little bit more effective in that light. Two, they're sworn officers, so as a citizen, you also have deputy sheriffs out there that can handle hot calls that come in of, on your way to deal with a situation that somebody's called in on an animal and you get a shooting that happens or a domestic and or something of that nature, you have that extra coverage out there that they can respond as well. Where we are now and what you'll probably be seeing again in the news is there's a difference between ordinances and state law. And the county has an ordinance. And then, of course, we will enforce a county ordinance, Henderson County's ordinance. And then there's state law. And of course, we are law enforcement officers, so we enforce state law as it applies to animal laws and everything that are state laws. And then our ordinances tend to either parallel the state law or they possibly could even be stricter than state law, but not more lenient. Does that make sense? And here's an example of that, a real simple one. There's not a state leash law. Most municipalities have one. Our county has one, but it's not state law. So there's an example where an ordinance can be a little more strict than state law, if you will. Okay. So with that understanding in our ordinance and what we're allowed to do as far as enforcing ordinances is now we have to differentiate between municipalities, incorporated municipalities within the county. And there's incorporated municipalities such as Hendersonville, the city of Hendersonville, the village of Flat Rock, the town of Mills River, the city of Fletcher, town of Fletcher, Laurel Park. Most of them, with the exception of Flat Rock now, have a form of law enforcement. And a lot of them have their own ordinances. Where we can't, what we don't do as deputy sheriffs is go into the town of Hendersonville and enforce their local ordinances, the city ordinances, because they have their law enforcement to do that. And if you're an incorporated municipality and you have adopted local ordinances that isn't state law, deputy sheriffs typically don't enforce that because it's the county ordinance that we enforce, not local municipalities. So there's been a push, and there's been several municipalities in the county that have adopted Henderson County's ordinance, which is good.
Yeah.
I mean, but we're still limited to where we have the authority now to enforce our county ordinances with the definition of incorporated or unincorporated municipality. So, where are we with this? The bottom line is we will enforce as the animal enforcement all state law in Henderson County. We can. Mm-hmm. And only the county ordinance in the county in unincorporated municipality areas like Etowah would be an example of that. Edneyville, Dana, I mean, these are Green River, unincorporated municipalities, if you will. So that's where we're at. What you'll see, there'll be, like I say, it hits the news in different cycles. I'm sure some of you have seen it before. But just bear in mind that we do state law throughout the county.
I have a question. I'm somewhat embarrassed to ask it, and I expect you to say to me, you know, Patty, that's ridiculous. But I have a friend who lives in Flat Rock, and they recently have had issues with a barking dog. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, Judy, there's, you know, an ordinance about that. I said, and I sent it to her. I sent her the ordinance and highlighted, you know, the sections. And she said she was talking with a neighbor who's also been, you know, bothered by this. And the neighbor told her that you won't go into Flat Rock?
Well,
is that true?
For a noise ordinance, this county ordinance, for the very reason that I just explained,
uh-huh.
that if the dog was bit somebody and or was a dangerous dog or something of that nature that falls under state law, absolutely.
But
not for barking.
That's a
city? Noise ordinance.
It's a noise ordinance, so you won't go into Flat Rock.
And enforce Flat Rock's noise ordinances.
I see. So Flat Rock must have their own.
Doesn't have any law enforcement, correct?
So I don't live there, so I don't think they do. I don't know.
Flat Rock state law there.
Yeah.
No, but they don't have their own. Like Laurel Park has its own little.
Right.
Yeah. So they. I mean, Flat Rock doesn't have its own.
So there's no
police force.
Enforce.
So there's no one to enforce that.
So you're
kind of, as they say, SOL.
Well, that's what my friend was saying. Now, I expected Mike to say, Patty, that's ridiculous. You know, your neighbors, those neighbors don't know what they're talking about. But perhaps, in fact, they were speaking the truth.
They're essentially, it's a local ordinance that, I mean, we don't have the authority under a local ordinance to enforce that in the village of Flat Rock at this point.
So you're saying the village has an ordinance,
mm-hmm.
and that's what she needs to pursue? But
and it's incorporated.
But there's no one to enforce it. Yes. So they're really, again, like Catherine said, SOL.
Remember where we are.
Yes. Yes. I understand what you're saying.
That's where I'm bringing you up to speed, if you will, as far as where we are and what's going on.
So there's going to be breaking news. This is what you're trying
to
say to us.
No, not necessarily. But I'm just saying that that's where we are as far as in what we're dealing with.
So that's a Flat Rock political issue.
I would say. Yeah.
And you need somebody to be able to enforce their local ordinances.
Yeah.
Isn't that silly?
Now, I'd like to take this time to inform you about what we told you about what animal enforcement is and what they do. Now, what is it comprised of? What are their abilities? We have well-trained deputy sheriffs, number one. Most of them are investigators as well. It's a squad right now comprised of 6 deputies with 2 supervisors, and that's why I asked them to be here so that you could see them, and you'll probably see them in the future. But that's Sergeant Paul Blackwell and Corporal Vince Griggs. And they have 4 other animal enforcement deputies underneath them. They have the ability to trap, you know, live trap animals. They're proficient with, and they actually use tranquilizer gun, which is, they've been to school for that, and it's caught some veterinarians off guard. Well, wow, you're allowed to use xylazine. It's not controlled. We don't. So that's what we've been using for, since 2011, 2012.
How quickly does that work?
Not very.
Okay.
Not enough.
if they have a lot of adrenaline, do you test
this on Vince first?
Or no.
But look at him, he volunteered.
So he's got his
thing on. They can't get it.
So
just on Paul. Okay.
The other thing I'm going to go with is that they have the ability to conduct investigations on animal cruelty, put together cases for not just, I don't know, have you appeared on a dangerous dog mm-hmm. committee hearing? Mm-hmm. All right, that's part of it. But also in district court and superior court, and present cases and go to trial for animal cruelty cases. Other things that they would do and are working on and everything else can be anything from blood sport investigations to larceny of canine, which is a felony in the state of North Carolina, to basically rabies, when you put that, I lost the words. We canvass the county. We ensure that any animal that may not be with its owner has a rabies tag and is current, okay? And then if there's any kind of issue with rabies in the county, we also work with the health department.
Yeah, they're sort of a field extension to the health department when it comes to rabies.
It sounds almost like you transcend some of these layers of government.
Well, what it
depending
is,
depending on the issue.
What happens is basically the health department doesn't have the manpower this time to be out in the field, so we have opted to assist them in that area. It's under their umbrella of operation, but we'll be their eyes and feet, if you will, going and spreading the word and helping them do what's necessary in an area that's been hit hard with rabies. Mm-hmm.
So instead of a barking dog, if you had a potentially rabid dog, you guys could go into Flat Rock?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Okay, right, all right. Well, that's good to know. Barking's a nuisance. Rabid, that's serious.
That's a public health issue.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's the state law. So state law.
In county or what? Yeah, you know, I would think at all.
Yeah.
Yes. So... I'm trying to help you guys mm-hmm. understand where we are as best I can. We've handled cases from a couple of years ago that I personally was involved with in exotic animals, and Brad and myself, where we had, 61, I believe it was, venomous.
Oh, don't, just stop.
Wow.
Right there.
Wow.
Stop.
Puppies.
A real scary
stop.
Evening.
Puppies.
Yeah. Where it was literally a very rare...
I've been trying to get young boys.
And that we dealt with that. Brad and I worked that together. And other animals that have had issues in the county this year has been distemper. A lot of that with raccoons.
Yeah.
It was a really big year for distemper in our county. Hmm. And we work with... the wildlife to do at least what they asked us to do and to help answer a call for service for folks that were dealing with an animal that was in their yard. And, you know, distemper is pretty contagious, and we needed to try and put a lid on it. And it was like a wave. It started in the west side of the county and moved throughout the summer to the east side. So,
if you were to try to draw an organizational chart between the shelter, sheriff's department, and the health department, it would be real convoluted.
Mm.
Sounds like you all are there for each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a team.
Yeah.
We work well together.
Yeah.
Any other questions about anything?
No, this has been...
I don't know if we talked about it, but how important what you guys do here on this and this side of it with working towards improving or adding or whatever, making recommendations to the Board of Commissioners with the ordinances, B, the seriousness and the help that you guys do in sitting in on these dangerous dog determinations, because mm-hmm. that is state law. They have a right to an appeal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something to be taken very serious, and I'm glad you guys do, and I appreciate it. I can't be on those hearings because of conflict of interest. But
what's the conflict of interest?
Well, they work under me. And if they're presenting a case and we're deciding it.
You're usually the plaintiff.
Huh?
They're the plaintiff.
Right?
Yeah.
I can't be one of the judges.
You should understand.
Oh, you mean, oh, No. I thought you meant you can't appear before. Versus
no, I can't.
Right. He'd win all the time, this one. He'd win. You'd win, or you'd lose all the time if you were on. It could be a conflict of interest.
But anyway, that's I appreciate what you guys do and for your time.
I found it very satisfying, very educational.
Mm-hmm. Did I forget anything, Brad?
That's, you know, one reason I asked Mike to speak to this is because moving forward, and you know, we may be asked by the, or you guys may be asked by the Board of Commissioners to look at a certain law or something that, and I'm not saying it's because there's anything that I know of coming down the pipe, but you need to understand that there is a difference. You know, you're making laws for the county. Countywide, not for municipalities, and the way you look at things might, or the way things present themselves might be differently.
That came up one time because I didn't realize that there were two separate codes or code and ordinance.
Yeah.
And then we had that case that was in the city limits. I think you
yes.
testified mm-hmm. on that or gave were involved.
Yes.
All right. And what will happen too is as time progresses, you know, another 6 months from now. The officer, the deputies in the field may say, hey, we need to work, we need to change this, or we'd like to submit a change in this particular ordinance in this area, you know, change the wording here, you know, and then they'll present that change to the board, us, and then we make a determination from that point, or hey, we need to look at this, and we've all been presented
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
So that's important,
yeah.
what we do here.
Yeah.
Anything further?
No pictures. Sorry,
what?
No movie. I promised Homeward Bound.
What a red
no, no entertainment at all.
Well, does anybody, we'll make this official, does anybody have anything else that they would like to bring up? Patty, go ahead.
And I wrote this down mostly just so I would remember to say everything I wanted to say. Okay.
There's an awful lot on that paper there.
Well, you know, and we can already cut out. We can already cut out part of it because I spoke to it earlier, and because when I saw John's name on the agenda, I started to do the math.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I
you read away. You read as much as you need to read.
Oh,
we're
well,
good.
Thank you. You'll try to stay awake. Okay, good. Well, this is my last meeting because my term is up in January, or really February, and I'm allowed to be excused from one meeting a year, so I thought, well, unless you need me for a vote or something like that, I just will excuse myself from the January meeting. But of course, I'll be available for dangerous dog appeals, you know, through February. But then the way that it works with the county is you're off for one term or 3 years, and then you can reapply to serve on the committee. And I've already shared with Brad that I would be very interested in doing so. So
you can take your own place.
So I can take my own place? No, I have to wait out 3 years.
You have to wait out. I'm sorry.
Right,
yes.
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought we should change your name.
Good comments, yes.
Whatever works.
Before you got the application filled out, just
Kim Kardashian. Oh, okay, real good.
Let us know how that works.
Active poor taste.
I can think of another name. Well, I just want to say it's been a pleasure to work with you over these past 5 years. As I shared with Brad, unless my vote is required, yada, 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 I've just said all of that. Before leaving the board, I did want to speak to one issue that I think just needs a little clarifying. Last fall, when I was proposing a change in the ordinance, I recall that several committee members, some of whom are not here tonight, felt we should only take an action of this sort upon a request from one of the commissioners, one or more of the commissioners. I spoke to Brad about this. He was absent from the October meeting when I was presenting a change.
Tethering.
Yes, on tethering. Mm-hmm. That I didn't understand our committee to be reactionary as much as proactive, and Brad agreed. So I think it's important going forth that it's known to the committee members you know, I got the feeling that some of the people who were not in favor of the change in the tethering ordinance in part were saying so because it had not begun with the commissioners. And I listened to that and I thought, you know, gosh, guys, I think we're supposed to be the ones making recommendations. Now, the commissioners may come to us, but again, I reread the bylaws, and according to the bylaws, it does make reference to things coming up from the commissioners, but for the most part, we are a proactive group. We listen, of course, to Brad and the sheriffs and then our own experience or perhaps in listening to other people, but we're somewhat proactive. Is our ordinance up to date? Is it meeting the current needs? And I guess that's important that the members understand that, and again, some of whom aren't here tonight. Going forward, your next meeting will be one where officers are selected and elected. And I'm sharing this to everybody here, and hopefully the word will also reach those who are not able to be here tonight. Don't let this come as a surprise. In other words, give some thought to serving. Somebody has to serve. It shouldn't be by default. Hopefully everybody will take their turn. And I think leadership is really important. I enjoy working well with John and with Brad, and I think leadership is really important, and I think, and it's very supportive to the work that goes on. So again, please think about it prior to the January meeting, you know, and even if you nominate yourself, please do so. Finally, I'll be following your work closely as, if given the opportunity in 3 years, I'd like to rejoin you. Best wishes and happy holidays. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you.
I think you and I cycle out at the same time, do we not?
I know I'm February of next year.
If I'm not mistaken, I think I'm February of next year as well.
Oh, really? Okay. John Lynn, expiration, yes, February of 17. Yes,
When is Donna's?
Donna is 19, which is interesting. You both came on in the same time.
I think the first term, the first term of mine I filled in. I took the rest of someone else's term.
Yeah.
And then I came back for number two.
Yeah, yeah. So altogether, you will have served 4 years. Mm-hmm. And which, again, it's up to you, Brad, but I certainly would. I mean, I look at someone like John, mm-hmm. and I think how valuable he has been, not only as chair, but especially this past year,
right.
has been asked to serve as vice chair a number of times. And to lose you next February, you know, not that you don't want new blood. I think you do. Yeah. And, again, if people cannot serve because of their schedules or, you know, I know James has a new baby in the family and there may be demands on him that he didn't anticipate before. But I think maybe that sitting out 3 years is not necessarily
productive.
Well, or a good idea. Right,
well,
right, right.
And it's also not up to me. I think that all the committees in the county are
work
that
way.
That
okay.
same structure, and it's all dictated from both commissioners. Because
okay.
I've never, I don't know the terms and the limits and the.
Mm-hmm.
You told me that.
No, it was. Yeah, I spoke with Terry.
Wilson.
Wilson.
Yeah.
And
she
would
know it backwards and forwards, and,
mm-hmm.
and she would even tell you if there's differences between boards. There may be differences between, you know, the.
Mm-hmm.
One board versus this board, and how long people can serve. I don't know that.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, I didn't pursue it with her. I just asked
yeah.
for clarification,
yeah.
and that's what she told me. So.
Yeah, I know I know that was the time limits and the time in between
mm-hmm.
your terms and everything was set up so there could be a, you know, so other people would have a chance to serve, and I would
mm-hmm.
hope that they would take that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, it's. You know, we've been doing this for a little while, but I think we've been to almost as many, if not more, dangerous dog appeals
yeah.
than we have actual board meetings here
yeah,
and everything.
Probably.
So, or committee meetings here. So
yes.
we've, that's going to be kind of weird for me too.
yes. And you've been a great member. You've been
I appreciate
a really great
it.
Member. So I think it's a loss. To the committee.
See, we can keep the two of them and still get new blood.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
but just having you guys have always been so your schedules have always been flexible and accommodating. That's
yeah.
And you were busy. I mean, you work hard.
I think the only... can I get that in writing, please?
Yes.
I need,
hey,
I need to take that home. My wife thinks I kicked my feet up at my office with my cat. One of my cats, anyway. I was just thinking about the next meeting in January and everything. Patty brought up attendance and whatnot. How do we go about that? Because I don't.
Those names have to be submitted to the Board of Commissioners, and they decide what to do from there.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, but okay. We've been through that before. With
oh, you mean if they're not doing what they're supposed to do, then their names go to the is the commission that decides not this committee.
It's more than one in a year.
Yeah.
That was the way.
Yeah, they appoint them, so they. Unappointed, I guess, as much. Mm-hmm. So.
For the 3-year term, though, it's like you're only supposed to miss one meeting.
A year.
That's the way the bylaws was written.
Question, but it's kind of changing the subject.
No.
Okay. When I got home 3 hours ago and was going through literally a box of mail that hadn't been, there was a postcard about a thing on Tuesday night.
Are you coming?
Mm-hmm. I was asking about it. I actually
it's
called.
Tuesday.
It's dinner.
It's Tuesday.
It's the 18th.
Yeah, it's Tuesday night.
Appreciation.
And I
was there. Dr. Jewell and I represented us last year. We were the
okay. Well, I mean,
we were the designated
it said
leaders.
RSVP on the October 3rd. I actually called, and the girl said, "Oh, okay." I said, "I'm sorry, I didn't see this, but is anybody else
going?"
You're
in the South. They're not going to say no.
Well, I don't.
It's true.
You know, I don't
in
much,
the north,
so
they'd go,
right.
They'd blow you off.
Yeah,
well,
that's the
truth.
You're right about
down
that.
Down here, they're very gracious.
As long as you show up with a casserole or a dessert.
I missed that. It was a potluck dinner. I missed
what
that.
Was that Kentucky
it was
Derby
actually,
party?
It was actually good.
I was wearing Crocs, and
yeah.
She said, "You can't wear Crocs to a Kentucky Derby
yes,
party." And I said, "I've got bourbon. They're going to let me in."
Well, I've got a motion to adjourn the meeting. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.